So this is a poem by Hafiz Ahmed. The original title is Likhi Lua Muezzan Mia, and in English the translation would be Write Down I'm a Mia. I'll read first the original and then I'll go to the translation. Likhi Lua Muezzan Mia, Likha, Likhi Lua Muezzan Mia, NRC Chromic Number 200053. দুজন সন্তানৰ বাপেক মই অহাবাৰ গ্ৰীষ্মত জন্ম ল'ব আৰু এজনে তাকো তুমি ঘৃণা কৰিবা নেকি যিদৰে ঘৃণা কৰা মোক লিখি লোৱা মই এজন মিয়া পতিত ভূমি পিতনিক মই ৰূপান্তৰিত কৰিছো শস্য শ্যামলা সেউজী পথাৰলৈ তোমাক খুৱাবলৈ মই ইটা কঢ়িয়াইছো তোমাৰ অট্টালিকা সাজিবলৈ তোমাৰ গাড়ী চলাইছো তোমাৰ আৰাম দিবলৈ তোমাৰ নৰ্দমা চাফা কৰিছো তোমাক নিৰোগী কৈ ৰাখিবলৈ তোমাৰে সেৱাতে মগন মই অনবৰত তাৰ পিছত কিয় তুমি খৰ্গহস্ত লিখা লিখি লোৱা মই এজন মিয়া গণতান্ত্ৰিক গণৰাজ্য এখনৰ নাগৰিক এজন যাৰ কোনো অধিকাৰ নাইকিয়া মাতৃক মোৰ হজোৱা হৈছে সন্দেহযুক্ত ভোটাৰ যদিও পিতৃ মাতৃ তাইৰ নিসন্দেহ ভাৰতীয় চ' দিছ ইজ দ্য ফাৰ্ষ্ট ছেগমেণ্ট অফ দ্য পোৱেম it's written in Assamese, which is the language of Assam, one of the languages of Assam, one of the official languages. The second segment goes something like this. Itsa korile tumi muk hotta koribo para, jolai dibo para mur kheror poja, kheri dibo para muk murei gaor para, kahi nibo para mur heuji pathar, mur bukur uporere solabo para tumar bulldozer, tumar bullete bukukhon mur koribo pare, থকা সৰকা তোমাৰ এই কাৰ্যৰ বাবে তুমি কোনো স্থিৰ নোপোৱা যুগ যুগান্তৰৰ তোমাৰ অত্যাচাৰ সহ্য কৰি ব্ৰহ্মপুত্ৰৰ চৰত বাস কৰা মই এজন মিয়া মোৰ দেহা হৈ পৰিছে নিগ্ৰ কলা মোৰ চকুজুৰি আঙঠাৰ দৰে ৰঙা সাৱধান মোৰ দুচকুত জমা হৈ আছে যুগ যুগান্তৰৰ বঞ্চনাৰ বাৰুদ আঁতৰি যোৱা নতুবা আছিৰেই পৰিণত হবা মূল্যৱান চাইত This is the original. I'll now read out the translation. Write down I'm a Mia, Hafiz Ahmed. Write down I'm a Mia. My serial number in the NRC is 200543. I have two children. Ander is coming next summer. Will you hate him as you hate me? Write, I am a Mia. I turn waste marshy lands to green paddy fields to feed you. I carry bricks to build your buildings, drive your car for your comfort, clean your drain to keep you healthy. I have always been in your service, and yet you are dissatisfied. Write down I'm a Mia, a citizen of a democratic, secular republic without any rights, my mother a devoter though her parents are Indian. If you wish, kill me, drive me from my village, snatch my green fields, hire bulldozers to roll over me. Your bullets can shatter my breast for no crime. Write, I am a Mia of the Brahmaputra. Your torture has burnt my body black, reddened my eyes with fire. Beware, I have nothing but anger in stock. Keep away or turn to ashes.
That's wonderful. Thank you. And I am Marsha Links Quayle, and I'm here with Salim M. Hussein at the Off-Off London Book Fair. Those of us who are still in London, even though the book fair itself has been cancelled. And Salim and I were meant to speak on a panel together organized by Literature Across Frontiers. Salim is a poet, translator, scholar, and rights activist from Assam, which is a state in, for those who don't know, in northeastern India, bordering Bangladesh. And Salim is the 2020 Charles Wallace India Trust Literary Translation and Creative Writing Fellow at Literature Across Frontiers, University of Wales, Trinity St. David, and he has a project of compiling and translating an anthology of poems by Bengal origin Muslims of Assam, collectively referred to as Mia poets, and the Hafiz Ahmed poem that he just read is one of those Mia poets. And And as I sort of read up a bit about it online, my understanding is that Mia Poetry began with this poem in 2016, indeed, but that it also comes out of a sort of a history of partition and other things. So could you talk a bit about what the word Mia means and where Mia Poetry came from and what its sort of cultural importance is?
It's a very long history, but I'll try to be as brief as possible. All right, so India has had, I mean, the current state of India has had a number of waves of migration. and mostly internal migration, so from within one part of the country to the other. Two large waves of migration happened in the northeastern state of Assam. One from the east and one from further south. So in both of these movements of a large number of people happened in the 19th century. From the south, laborers were brought to work in the tea gardens. And from the east, agricultural laborers were brought to grow more rice in Assam. Now, as a circumstance of history, India was partitioned in 1947. And the part from which these agricultural laborers were brought and settled in Assam became a part of East Pakistan. In 1971, that part of South Asia gained independence and became Bangladesh. So these agricultural laborers who were brought from, at one point of time, one part of British India to another part of British India, suddenly had their origins now in a completely different country.
Mm.
So, even before the independence, I mean, when the laborers were first brought to Assam, there was some opposition against bringing them because Assam was very sparsely populated and there was a fear among the growing middle class in Assam that bringing so many people from outside would change the demographic, the language, the culture of the state. Once the country was partitioned, then the rhetoric took a completely different direction. And suddenly these people who had moved from one part of one country to another part of the country suddenly became migrants because their origins were now in a different country, newly formed different country. Ever since, there has been this feeling of this feeling that this community are outsiders, and that feeling has persisted. And one of the words of abuse used against this community, it's a largely Muslim community, is the word Mia.
Ah, okay.
Now, originally the word Mia, as used in Urdu or used in Persian, would mean a gentleman. This word is also used after someone's name as a suffix. So you could call me Salim Mia, meaning Mr. Salim.
Ah.
All right. But in Assam, on the streets, this word gained a completely different meaning. So anyone who was denoted with the name Mia, I mean, it meant that that fellow was an outsider. And all of those sentiments that we have against the other were thrust upon that word. So a Mia would not just be an outsider, but he would also be barbaric, also be a threat, an alien, and so on. So all of those negative connotations. So in 2016, when Mia Poetry started, the aim was to reclaim that word, because we believed, I mean, a number of us who were involved in the Mia Poetry movement, we believed that it is because of this word that so many of our problems, you know, it is in this word that many of our problems lie. So it was very necessary for us to reclaim this word. So Mia Poetry started with the poem that I have just recited by Hafiz Ahmed. And in the last 4 years, we have had a large number of writers writing Mia poems, about 33, I think, at latest count. And the corpus of Mia Poetry would be, I think, more than 200 at this point.
So one of the things that really excited me when I saw this is that, so was he inspired by Mahmoud Darwish's poem, Write Down, I'm an Arab?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a sort of a conscious taking on of the Mahmoud Darwish poem and placing it in this history. And so then you you read this poem soon after, in April 2016, when it was published to Facebook, because you already knew Hafez Ahmed as a poet.
Yes.
And then you wrote your own poem. You, like, I guess many others, wrote your own poem in response. And can you tell us about what led you to write that poem in response, and then more about that poem?
Yes. So translation has been a very important part of the Mia poetry movement. And in this act of translation, we have always brought in similar movements of resistance, of lament from other civilizations. So Hafiz Ahmed, when he first put up this poem on social media, I mean, it was very clear that it was inspired, heavily inspired by Darwish's poem, because the title was almost the same. Write down, I'm an Arab, and write down, I'm a Mia. The first few lines are almost exactly the same. So, as soon as this poem came up on social media, a number of us who wanted to write poems about what was happening with our community in Assam, we found an opportunity, because Hafiz Ahmed is one of the older generation of poets. See, the Mia poets are, of course, a new generation of poets writing poems of resistance, but we have had predecessors in the 1980s. So the last generation also had a handful of poets who wrote their own poems about their experiences. It was called by a different name, of course. It was called Chor Chapori poetry. Chors and Chaporis are the riverine areas of the Brahmaputra River, which is the largest river in the northeast of India. And these are low-lying fallow lands where most of the Bengal origin Muslim community live, still continue to live. So in a way, we are the second generation of the Chor Chapori poets, or they are the first generation of Mia poets, whichever way you look at it. So when this poem came out, it was a source of inspiration, and I wrote a response to that poem immediately on the day that it came out. And then someone else wrote a response to my poem, someone wrote a response to that, and we had a chain of about 10 poems.
Wow.
Within the next 2 or 3 days. I mean, it was completely spontaneous. Most of us didn't even know each other.
Mm.
We just had social media which was connecting us. So we had this chain of poems. And then, because I'm the principal translator, so it was my job to translate all of those poems into English. Because the first two poems, Write Down, I Am a Mia, and my own poem, Nana, I Have Written, were composed both languages, in Assamese and in English. The rest of the poems were written either in Assamese or in one of the regional dialects that we speak, which has, of course, no literature. So that became a task. I mean, translating from a dialect with no standardization into a standard language like English.
Mm. And is that's a function of social media? That's because of the time of social media, right? That more dialectical uses are coming into poetry?
Yes, I believe so.
Mm.
Because had we gone through the more traditional means of publication, it could have taken time, and the editors would have probably intervened, made it more standard, and so on. So it would have been a completely different thing. But because of social media, thankfully, we retained the original vision of the poems that we actually wanted to, say. So in that sense, the distribution via social media helped us retain, a very raw, speech-based poetic aesthetic rather than a very textual aesthetic.
So can you read the poem, Nana, I Have Written?
Sure. It's slightly long, so if you could just bear with me.
Yes, we will bear with you.
Right. So I'll read it again, both in the dialect and in the English translation. Nana ami lexigo. Nana ami lexigo, attesto koraisi, countersigno koraisi, public notary verify korse, ziami ashule exon mia. Ehon amare urte dehuin, baner panitike, bhumistolone rupre bhaste dehuin, keda bhanga, balu bhanga, shab bhanga arte dehuin, zominer sapazeta marte dehuin, kodal dia ail karte dehuin, আর দেহুন আমারে ধানের মধ্যে ডায়রিয়ার মধ্যে কুইশলের মধ্যে হাইফরা পারতে 10% সাক্ষরতা হারের মধ্যে আমারে আমার মাথা ঠিক করতে দেহুন চুল সিটি করতে দেহুন দুই শায়ের পদ্য একটা গণিতের ফর্মুলা পড়তে দেহুন দেহুন আমার কপালে চিন্তা যে সুমশালারা কয় তুই বাংলাদেশি আর আমার বিপ্লবী বুকটারে কইতে দেহুন যে হায় রে তুই জানস যে তুই মিয়া দেহুন আমারে সংবিধান কাছে নিয়া দিল্লির মুহি আঙ্গুল কইরা দুই কদম আগাইতে আমারই পার্লামেন্টে সুপ্রিম কোর্টে আমারই কনট প্লেসে আমার এমপি রে জজ বাবু আর জনপথে যে টুকটাক আর মায়া বেসে হে গেদিরেও কইতে দেহুন জামি তুমিয়া কলকাতায় আমারে লক দুর্বরা হইন বেঙ্গালুরু হইন সীমাপুরের জোপরপট্টিতে হইন দেহুন আমারে শুট কোট পিন্দা সিলিকন ভ্যালিতে কোট বুট পিন্দা ম্যাকডোনাল্ডসে আমার বাল্যকাল বন্দী শ্রীনগরে আমার নারীত্ব বেসা কিনা হারিয়ানার মেওয়াতে আমার পুলাপানের কাপন কাপড়ে রক্ত দেহুন আমার পিএইচডি সার্টিফিকেট শুনার মেডেল দেহুন তারপরে আমার ডা হইন সালমা বুলিয়া আমান বুলিয়া আব্দুল বাহাতুর নেসা বুলিয়া বা খালি গুলাম বুলিয়া আমারে প্লেন ধরতে দেহুন ভিসা পাইতে দেহুন বুলেট ট্রেন ধরতে দেহুন রকেট ধরতে দেহুন মহাকাশে আমার লুঙ্গি দেহুন আর জানি আমার ডাক কেউ হুনা না হারে হেনে আমারে চিল্লাইতে দেহুন যে আমি মিয়া আমি গর্বিত Well, this is the original.
So you wrote that first, and then you wrote the English second, or?
Almost at the same time. The same time as in, I wrote probably one verse of this and then translated, and probably one verse in English and then translated it back. So, that way. This poem refers to a number of places in India. So, those names... For those who don't know, it might carry some meaning, but it has, I mean, these names have very deeply connotative meanings, which I won't even try to explain.
Okay.
Is this the whole geography of India?
Well, I thought I heard Silicon Valley and McDonald's.
Yes.
I know those places.
Yes, yes. So, there's also one word that is used, lungi, which is, you know, a loose sarong kind of a, yeah. In Assam, the lungi is, it's how you identify a mia. So a mia would wear that loose skirt kind of a thing. It's worn by men, usually worn by people who do manual labor. Although, of course, it's worn by, all communities, but mostly on the streets by these people. So it becomes denotative of that community. Just like the skull cap and the beard becomes, Muslim signs.
Yes.
So the same way. All right. Nana, I have written. Nana, I have written, attested, countersigned, and been verified by a public notary that I am a Mia. Now see me rise from flood waters, float over landslides, march through sand and marsh and snakes, break the earth's will, draw trenches with spades, crawl through fields of rice and diarrhea and sugarcane and a 10% literacy rate. See me shrug my shoulders, curl my hair, read two lines of poetry, one formula of math, read confusion when the bullies call me Bangladeshi and tell my revolutionary heart, but I am a Mia. See me hold by my side the constitution, point a finger to Delhi, walk to my parliament, my Supreme Court, my Connaught Place, and tell the MPs, the esteemed judges, and the ladies selling trinkets and her charm on Janpath, well, I am Mia. Visit me in Kolkata, in Nagpur, in the Simapuri slums, see me suited in Silicon Valley, suited at McDonald's, enslaved in Birwa, bride trafficked in Mewat. See the stains on my childhood, the gold medals on my PhD certificate. Then call me Salma, call me Aman, call me Abdul, call me Bahatun Nessa, or call me Gulam. See me catch a plane, get a visa, catch a bullet train, catch a bullet, catch your drift, catch a rocket, wear a lungi to space, and there where no one can hear you scream, thunder, I am Mia, I am proud.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
I love the image of catching a lungi to space.
Yeah.
So I also read that some of the Mia poets had gotten in some kind of legal trouble for their poetry.
Yes, I'm one of them.
Okay.
So last year, in June, I think on the 10th of June, or maybe July, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the month. So there were cases filed against us, against 10 of us. Some of them were Mia poets. One of them was associated with the Mia poetry through other means, I mean, through promoting events and so on. And some were involved with the movement in whatever way. So one case was filed against 10 of us, and then it was followed by 3 more cases. And then there were individual cases filed against the Mia poets. I mean, the accusation was that we were trying to, malign the image of the state of Assam in front of the world.
Right.
Disturbing the peace and so on. So these were the accusations that were brought. It would have been all right had it been just the cases. I mean, we could have fought it in court. But it led to a large, media circus. So we were called to the, to live televised shows, news shows, and grilled in front of, a large number of viewers. So that was one experience that we have had.
Right. And so is the case ongoing or the case is finished?
The case is finished, yeah.
Okay. Have you had, did it result in any kind of threats or anything like that, or it was mostly...
No, it was mostly verbal threats and threats via social media, which didn't amount to anything, finally.
Okay.
Thankfully.
That's, alhamdulillah, good.
Yes, yes.
So who are reading these poems? My understanding was that there are a lot, that poetry really is thriving in Assamese. I think you wrote, "Now is a better time than ever to be a poet in Assamese. There are multiple literary journals catering to a stable reading audience and a number of little magazines published occasionally. Unlike English language poetry, poetry anthologies in Assamese are also a thriving genre. The sales figures are quite high and academic engagement with poetry is very robust."
Yes.
So who's reading these poems?
If the poems are written, what Mia poetry does is that we don't write in one particular language. So whichever language anyone is comfortable with, we could write in that. The Northeast has a large number of languages, just like India does.
Mm.
So whichever language one is comfortable in, but most of the poems are written in Assamese, which is one of the official languages of Assam. Some are written in the dialects that the poets speak, and a few are written in English or in Hindi.
Mm.
So in that way, we have an audience across languages. Now, when the poems are written in the dialects, then of course the readership is very tiny. But social media magnifies your readership because it takes it everywhere. We have mostly relied upon social media for the dissemination of our poetry, but also in print, in Assam, the readership is mostly people who read in Assamese.
Mm.
So for that purpose, if the poems are written in dialect, they need to be translated into Assamese. So there are some of us who do that. We also have a readership in English. So again, I do most of the translation, so it goes out into smaller journals, and we have been publishing right since 2016. A small collection in some website, a small collection in some magazine, some print magazine. So that is something that has been continuing. We are planning 2 volumes of poetry, which should be out this year.
That's fantastic. So what is the importance of translation to this poetic project?
It's very important. Because, as I said, each of us functions as a translator. So if we are translating if we are writing the original poem in our local dialect, then it also becomes our responsibility to translate it to a standard language. So almost all the poets are bilingual in that way, mm-hmm. or trilingual, whichever. Yeah. So they do that translation. And then I translate as much as possible to English, because we can't really connect to the rest of the country, much less the rest of the world, unless we employ English as the medium. The problem is, because I am the one who's doing most of the translations, and because I have been involved with the movement, and because I also write my own poetry, so the translations might not always be 100% faithful to the original. So that's one problem that I do face. So sometimes I have done a translation, I find that I love it, and then I realize that, okay, I mean, there's more of me in the translation. And so I have to again edit it out. And so that discipline is a little difficult to enforce, but I try to do my best. And we also have other translators translating into English, but they don't translate much, probably mm-hmm. 1 poem or 2 poems and so on. But we're trying to collect all of that into a volume. So the volume will be bilingual in original and in English translation.
Do you know who the publisher will be?
Yeah, Speaking Tiger.
Oh, wonderful. And that will come out later this year?
I'm hoping so. I mean, okay. We're trying to race the deadline, but let's see. Hopefully this year, late this year, or probably early next year.
Mm. And how much Assamese literature is there in translation into Hindi or English or other Indian languages?
Yeah, some, not much, but some. Because India has just too many languages.
Mm.
And very few translators. So most translators are working overtime, trying to do as much as possible. See, in a country with 22 official languages, each language needs at least 100 translators to get some amount of literature out into English. But it becomes quite difficult. I mean, I my own PhD is on translation. From Assamese to English and from other languages to Assamese. And what I've noticed is there's a lot of translation from other languages to Assamese.
Mm-hmm.
So we access a lot of world literature in Assamese. That's possible. But very little of Assamese literature is actually coming out into the world. The primary Academy of Letters, the Sahitya Academy in India, it sponsors a few translations, but they're more of an academic kind, and the circulation of the books is not much, so the translated volumes don't really reach out as much as we would like them to. But I'm hoping that in the future there should be robust translation activities, because there are various genres within Assamese literature.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the popular genres that we have, and then some more.
So is poetry sort of a central literary form in Assamese, or what are the central genres that people write and read in?
Poetry is big. It's quite big. I mean, one way to gauge the popularity of poetry is to look at the sale figures in major events, book fairs and festivals mm-hmm. and so on. And poetry always sells more than any other form of literature. I wouldn't know why. But it does. Fiction, I don't know how much it, how well it does, but poetry definitely sells a lot. And writing of poetry is also encouraged quite a bit. And we have really had a very long tradition of poetry. And some very important figures who have brought all the Western, you know, literary movements into Assamese via translation or via, you know, imitation.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that way, Assamese poetry has gone through everything. It has had its modernism, it has had its postmodernism, it has had its everything, romanticism, in fact. But alongside, there's a more folk form of poetry, which is also moving side by side. So all of those things are very much there.
So was the Mahmud Darwish translated into Assamese, or was that...
Multiple times.
Okay. Multiple times. So there are different versions of that poem and other Darwish poetry.
Other Darwish poetry also, yes.
That exists in printed volumes or it mostly online or...
It should. I mean, as I said, translation in Assamese literature, it happens mostly via those magazines and little magazines, journals and so on. But I have read multiple translations of Darwish.
Wow. Okay. So he's a popular poet in Assamese.
Yes, he's a popular poet. Lorca is a very popular poet. Who else? Eliot is very popular, in fact. I mean, he has been translated multiple times. But Darwish definitely has a huge audience in Assam.
Wonderful. Well, I think he would be very pleased by this entire movement.
I'm sure.
Okay, so thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate having this off London Book Fair.
My pleasure entirely.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.